This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Been a little while. Great to hear your voice again.
No, thank you, Mike. Good to be on with you and Charlie.
Chris, before we get into baseball, I'll ask you a couple football questions. Whatever it is, spring practice or the spring game or whatever, but I think the encouraging thing is what we're seeing or what we're hearing off the edge and the ability to match up maybe quicker players up front at the defensive end or at the linebacker position. We'll get weeks and everybody back by the time the season starts. But it's been the pickups of the offseason at defensive end that I think have really been the talk this spring, and Jack Pyburn and what he's been able to do. You got a young man from Nebraska. We see the development of Dominic McKinley and, you know, certain other guys that were here a year ago. That has to be music to the ears of Brian Kelly, because what at one time was a strength. Marlon Favorite always said, Mike, man, we were one time rotating 11 defensive linemen. 11, and we were fighting for that time. It looks as though, while it's not there yet, there is some encouraging parts to this.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I think that was the biggest takeaway, you know, as you said. I mean, I think that was the biggest storyline, was the addition of, you know, new coach up front, the additions, Plyburn and the others that they were able to bring in. Again, along with, you know, I think, you know, you look over the last 2 years, I think offensively LSU could match with just about anybody. But, you know, you don't want to be, you know, week after week after week just simply having to outscore people. I mean, the SEC, as you know and everybody knows, way too talented to hang your hat on that and hope that it works out every Saturday. So, you know, there's obviously been a push to improve the defense. And I think that was the biggest storyline. I mean, not to think that, you know, they're not really concerned about replacing some of the weapons they lost on offense, but I think, you know, the cupboard, the known entities in that cupboard probably a lot better, and it starts obviously with Garrett Nussmeier. I think defense was a focus for, you know, Coach Kelly, Coach Baker, the entire defensive staff. I think you saw an improvement from, you know, the year before last year. Still not where they want it to be, but yeah, I think without question that's, and I think that will continue, Mike, to be honest with you. I think that'll be the focus once, you know, you get through the summer months and you start fall camp. I think everybody's going to say, okay, we feel pretty comfortable even with two offensive coordinators, you know, two different offensive coordinators since Coach Kelly has been here. We feel comfortable that we're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with most teams offensively. Where are we at defensively? And I think that narrative will continue through the fall. And it will be something that everybody's watching from week one all the way through the end of the season. But I think at least the initial reports are that they have moved. Once again, like last year, in the right direction. And it, you know, I've always said, you know, when it comes to a team and how good the team's going to be, you know, you got to have great coaches, you got to have a great scheme, but ultimately you got to have guys that can go out there and make plays. And I think LSU has done a really good job with those young players, getting them some action last year and even some of the younger guys the year before, and then you go add what you need. I think LSU's close to where Coach Kelly wants to be in the sense that we're not having to overhaul the entire, you know, position group out of the transfer portal, but yet go find the pieces that can really enhance it along with the guys we already have. And I think we're there. We'll find out.
The other part about it is last year, and not until late when Chris Hilton finally got healthy, and then he had a shaky comeback from the injury. But my thing is, I told this to Charlie a lot, Speed never had a bad day in its life. Never.
Mm-mm.
And now you got Chris Hilton and Berrion Brown coming in from Kentucky. First thing I do, if I'm Nussmeier, the first snap, man, I'll launch one out there. And I might not complete it, but I'm going to put that in the back of your head all game long, that I'm going to test you deep. And we didn't see that. And just because that player wasn't really on the roster until Chris got back healthy. And then when he got back, he took a couple of missteps and he got an earful from Coach Kelly about it. But we saw late, he was able to bounce back, play well. Berrion Brown's another guy. He's going to run guys out their socks. He's that fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference. I mean, you know, I think I said it week in and week out. You know, people would ask, you know, what's missing in this LSU offense, or what's the next step? And, I mean, it really was the ability to stretch the field. I thought we had really good possession receivers. I thought there were guys that, you know, obviously in an intermediate route could make one guy miss. But, again, you're taking on SEC defenses week in and week out that also have speed on the defensive side. They may not – you know, those corners and safeties may not have the best hands in the world, but they certainly got good feet and good legs. and you just weren't able to really, again, stretch that defense. And I'm with you. I would love to see on the opening play at Little Death Valley over in Clemson to open the season, I'd love to see the first play be one chug deep. And, again, if you get it, that's great. If you don't, again, they have to respect the fact that any moment you can do that. And I think defenses, as weeks went by, as everybody saw, I think they were able to cheat and say, look, we'll if they get one over the top, we'll live with it, but we don't think they will. And until they do, we'll just keep pushing everything up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Chris, hopping a little bit to baseball here, I wanted to ask you about Jacob Myers and what you see from him the last couple outings here. Listen, like, when you have guys emerging on the mound, and you've had it throughout SEC play, especially out of the bullpen with, like, Zach Cowan and Kason Evans, who have been fantastic, but you're wondering who's going to be the third piece to kind of emerge out of that bullpen. We got the news about Gavin Guidry potentially having season-ending back surgery, which is unfortunate, but Jacob Myers, who Mike knows, the former ace of the Nicholls State Colonels staff for the past couple of years, he's always had a great fastball, electric stuff, but the issue's been command. And we talked with Joe Healy about this leading into the season, that he could serve a really strong bullpen role if he can just throw strikes. That's been an issue for him at times this year. I mean, in his first six innings pitched, He had one hit allowed, but he gave up four runs. How does that happen? 12 walks in six innings. Now, in the last two games that he's popped out against Auburn and McNeese, no walks in either performance, two strikeouts in both performances, and a majority of strikes. So I think, you know, maybe if he's starting to find something on the mound a little bit for LSU, that he could be a key third piece out of the bullpen for the Tigers.
Well, I mean, you got to find it. I mean, you got to have it. I mean, it's nice to know that you can rely on Zach and Kaysen, and they've been as reliable as they have been. But you see what happens. You know, you go through a weekend like this past weekend at Auburn where the offense really was the issue. It certainly wasn't pitching. And obviously Jacob Myers and Maverick Rizzi and Cooper Williams, the Connors, Connor Ware, Connor Benjamin, all those guys really held the rope, as Skip Bertman would say. They went out there and they did their job. Again, that's one snapshot. It was encouraging to see, you know, those guys again that I mentioned come out last night, albeit no disrespect to McNeese. They got a very good team. I think they'll be in a regional when all is said and done. But it's not what you're going to see on the weekends. But because they took that step to a little closer to consistency, that's the difference. And, you know, Jay has told me multiple times since before the season and then twice during the season when we've talked about Jacob Myers. He said, Chris, when you look at our roster, pitchers, position players, you name it, the guy who has the natural talent that is destined to be in a major league uniform is Jacob Myers. He's just got to get the work done to get that consistency, because he's got God-given gifts that just – there's not a lot of human beings walking around that have that. And, you know, we saw it again last night. And it's just finding the strike zone. And, you know, some of it, I think Jay said, it's a process of teaching not just Myers, but even Maverick Rizzi, who's got a very strong fastball, is to be able to create some run on it. I mean, you can't have a flat fastball. I don't care how hard you throw it. If your fastball is flat in the SEC, you're going to give up hits and you're going to give up runs. Both of Maverick and to me, Jacob, have a lot of life on their fastball. Now they just got to hit the strike zone. And it's okay if contact is made, because you're relying on eight guys behind you that are pretty good at their positions. But, you know, you start walking guys and hitting batters, you know, that's going to kind of come back to bite you, especially in a league like this. So, yeah, I mean, I think that makes all the difference in the world. You look at that 2023 team, you know, at this point of the season, you know, we all knew that Riley Cooper was the guy that Jay relied on, whether it was early relief, middle relief, not necessarily closing, but he did at times. And then as you got towards the regional, super regional, and then on to Omaha for that nearly 2-week stretch, I mean, you started to see other guys, you know, kind of fill in, and that maybe in March or April, you kind of scratch your head and go, oh, I don't even want to see this guy come out of the pen again. And I think, you know, Doug Thompson and I talked about it on the broadcast last night with a guy like William Smith. I mean, the guy turned down professional baseball to get the college experience. It'd be great if he could come in and be Paul Skenes his first time out on the mound. But that's a little unfair to William. You're just wanting to see William, along with Jacob, with Maverick, with the Connors, each guy that comes in there, you know they have good stuff. They wouldn't be wearing an LSU uniform if they didn't have talent. We just need to see them take steps forward each and every time they hit the mound. And the good news is, I think over the last couple of weeks, where maybe we didn't see it a lot in the first month plus of the season, I think you're starting to see that. And goodness knows, those guys that I mentioned that pitched over the weekend, when they were able to hold or had to hold Zach and Kaysen until the final game, they got that to me, even though you lose three and nobody wants to lose three, to me, that was the takeaway, is that, okay, we got more baseball games to play. And the fact that they got that experience and performed the way they did, I think is going to bode well for the Tigers as we get deeper into the season. Because let's face it, we just finished the first half of the SEC race. So, you know, we've got, you know, another 15 games to go. And if those guys continue to take those steps, yeah, you're going to have a bullpen that nobody wants to deal with.
And like you mentioned, I mean, you get swept at Auburn, but you're still 10-5 in SEC play. And the magic number typically for a top eight national seed in the SEC is around 20 wins. If you can just replicate, you know, what you've done in the first half of SEC play, and I know it's going to be difficult. You host Alabama, then you host Tennessee, you go on the road to a Texas A&M team that's completely resurged. And then you host Arkansas, and then you travel and finish the year at South Carolina. But really, they're in a good spot. And the SEC is brutal. Like, the trip up was always going to happen. Auburn's a good team. Getting swept, you know, I watched the D1 Baseball Nerdcast earlier today, and they kind of, their projection right now is that 13 teams from the SEC are going to make the field of 64. Sounds a lot like college hoops, but, you know, we all know how dominant the league is in college baseball and has been for some time. But LSU fans really shouldn't panic at this point. I think it's okay. You're in a good spot at 10-5. You just need to get to that top eight national seed.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's won four of their first five SEC series. They got swept by Georgia. That's why it was shocking to me when we arrived on the plains last week. I was like, man, this is a 6-6 team. How do you do that? But then you got to go do the math and you figure out, well, they won three of their first four series. So like when LSU takes a sweep in SEC play, you think the sky is falling. And then you come back and you take a look at things and you realize, you know, they had 38 fly ball outs to 17 ground outs. That's a little more than 2-1. They didn't get on base. Auburn, credit their pitching staff. They came into the weekend one of the worst. I think they were 11th or 12th in the SEC in team ERA. But they did a good job. I mean, Sam Dutton, you got to tip your cap. I mean, he controlled the zone. He kept his pitches low. He got LSU, you know, kind of swinging golf style, and that's resulted in 38 pop-outs over a three-game series. But then you come in Monday and you take a look at what LSU has done. It's kind of what Jay and I said Monday night on the coaches show. I mean, LSU's in a good spot here. They're a top five in virtually every offensive statistic in the SEC. First in a number, second in a number. I mean, they lead the league in doubles. That, to me, I mean, I give Auburn a ton of credit. The one thing I noticed, because they moved the press box there, we're kind of down the first baseline. Didn't have a good vantage point, guys, on what was on the plate and what was on the corners just because of the angle. But we could tell that they kept the pitches low. I mean, they didn't try to get them to chase a lot of high stuff. Occasionally they did. But, I mean, there were a lot of knee strikes and under-knee called balls all weekend long. And you just got to say, hey, Auburn got it done. But LSU is in a pretty good spot, you know, halfway through the SEC race. And while they do have ranked teams coming in starting tomorrow with Alabama, and then they'll take on a very good Tennessee team, arguably the best team in the country, and eventually Arkansas, I mean, you got three of those final five at home and, you know, in front of the best college baseball fans in the country. And, you know, the first three out of your first five were on the road. So, yeah, LSU's in a great spot. There's no need. As I tell people all the time, Jay Johnson makes me laugh because he has no panic button. Doesn't know of one, doesn't have one, and doesn't need one. He knows this team has played well. And to be honest with you, they really hadn't faced any adversity until this past weekend. And sometimes that's a good thing.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights. I got to tell you this, though. I have a couple of neighbors of mine. They got the game on, sound off, and I can almost hear your voice from my house. They got that damn radio so loud, but, man, deal is, I got to hear Chris Blair on the call. So, man, that's a two thumbs up on that.
Well, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry you have to do that. Please tell them to turn it down.
No, I can't tell that to these guys because they ain't gonna do it. I know that. Chris, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
All right. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.